I think it's a brutal start, all right.
Yeah, it's a brutal start.
I'm glad you exist.
If I can,
so can you. That might be treasure.
It is not an easy topic, mind you.
No, not at all. This topic is going to be around about toxic people. It's difficult. It's also unfortunate because it's not a topic I'd like to talk about. Only for the fact I wish it didn't happen. I wish that we were clearer in our communication. I wish that we communicated friendship and agreed upon its terms rather than assuming that everybody's playing by the same rules, because toxicity happens when that's not the case.
Yes.
So difficult stuff, but words that need to be said, because I don't know many people who are talking about toxic people.
Well, how to spot a narcissist, get rid of the narcissist kind of way. I've heard people talk about that topic in that context, but not in a what about it does necessarily to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you identify, how do you deal with, how do you remove, how do you contextualize your experience,
mm-hmm.
at least personally?
I feel that maybe big narcissist has got to you and you've been given a large amount of money to say the word narcissist on this podcast. Or this might be thinly veiled narcissism itself, in which case I will destroy you with my words. From the first point, I'm sure within our lives that we have done toxic things. Because you only learn how not to be toxic by simply existing in life and by reflecting on the actions that you portray out there.
Hmm.
So I want to say that if you're looking for somebody to say, oh, I'm perfect, I've never been toxic in my life, that's a toxic person. Hit them with a stick. I mean, use your words. So what I mean by toxic is many different flavors and different ways of doing it. How to be toxic? By gaslighting a person, by creating a false reality around them, by controlling somebody, manipulating them. These have lots of overlaps. They can mean the same thing. They can mean slightly different things within different contexts. You've also got toxic traits of influencing friendship groups, for example, turning people's friends against them. It's around behaviours that limit you, that limit your ability to express, that put a terms and conditions on a relationship that you have. And I'm talking about a broad relationship, as in, you know, one person talking to another sort of. Just to put a tag on what that is. And toxic can be found in the workplace with behaviours around power and control. Also exploitation. If you've ever had a boss or co-worker say, our work unit's like a family.
Red flag.
Red flag. Welcome to Red Flag Town. Will you work harder for me because I've called this a family? And will I pay you the exact same or even less? Wonderful. Welcome to our family. Like, you didn't. No, you don't use the word family at work because then you actually belittle the word family. But there are places, farms or actual places, where that word means something. If it benefits you, you know it's good family. If it's a one-way stream to somebody else, sounds a bit toxic, doesn't it? Sounds a bit red flag. Nope. No. You don't want that.
You can also listen to the previous episode, but it is about family.
That's a very... the podcast that plugs itself.
I know, right?
You can't see my thumb up.
I'm going full on meta here.
But my thumb is really up. Love you. And this can also be around friends. Friends is the hardest thing with toxic. Because friendships are so badly defined, they are absolutely boxless, I find. That could be very much me. If you're a person who has a clear knowledge and is very particular and also incredibly rigid with what their friendships are, great. You may save yourself an absolute ton of pain, in which case go for it. But you may cut off some amazing people. You might even cut off lovers, partners. You may be cutting off some adventures or some dalliances. I mean, you know, some of my favourite memories in the past are friends that became briefly not friends or incredible friends, incredibly close friends, actually. And to them, I doth my cap. But I've also had friends who have been toxic, who have had me in that place where I thought they were the bee's knees, or, okay, I'm just going to accept the way you are the way you are because of ignorance and non-experience. And there comes that point. That's the awful thing, because actually it takes a catalyst, or it takes a realization that what is happening around you is not okay, for you to even begin to contemplate and understand what toxicity is.
You usually realize it when it's too late.
Yes, it's normally affected you. You get toxic in relationships, where the reality of your relationship, its design, its shape, the things you're allowed to do, the things you're not allowed to do, change. And it tends to benefit the one partner. Or it could benefit two partners, depending if it's a relationship with more than one partner. It's incredibly difficult, and I'm not being sponsored by Big Difficult to promote the difficulties in life, but it's awful because it requires things like spotting plans and being careful with who you're friends with at the beginning. Also, I find that one of the biggest things, and I really want to open this up, is actually knowing yourself. Knowing yourself is something. And it's all, you know, we are ourselves all our lives. We may change, we may do things, dye our hair, live our truth a little bit harder and louder, paint our nails, look wonderful, start to smile a lot more. But one of the things we can do is take note of what we like. Like, what do you like in your relationships? What do you want in a relationship? Through my history of dating, I did come to a point when I was around 20-something when I started saying to people, right, so if we're going to have a relationship, I've had abusive ones before. I've had toxic ones before. I don't want that in this. My offer to you is this, that I will be kind. I will not abuse you, both mentally or physically, because I've had that done to me. It's crap is the word that I want to use. It was crap. It broke part of me, and I had to spend time fixing myself.
I have a potential share based on what you just said. What I have done is I broke my own heart by breaking up with my ex. I was very much in love with him, but I had to break up with him because he was a toxic influence in my life. I was very much in love with him, but he made me feel that nothing I would ever do, nothing I would ever say, nothing would ever be enough. I would never be good enough, no matter what. And because he was my boyfriend at the time, and because I loved him, I believed him. I believed him that I would never be good enough. I believed him that nothing I would ever do or say would be enough. I was never good enough. And I hated myself because of that. I ended up really hating myself that I would not be good enough. I couldn't be good enough. That no matter what, I would just not be able to make him happy, the person I loved. And because I hated myself so very much, because of the way he made me feel, he made me hate myself. I broke up, even though I was still very much in love with him. Even though I loved him so very much, I struggled to show him and speak his love language. Today I know that, but back then I didn't. He couldn't understand that. He couldn't see that as my love language. And he couldn't tell me what was his, so I couldn't make him feel loved either. And it was this perpetuating circle of things going wrong. It became really toxic. The moment it started to turn rather toxic is when I could no longer express myself the way I wanted. When I was walking around eggshells around him and I couldn't say what I wanted, how I wanted it. I was afraid of either triggering a fight or, again, reinforcing that I've done something wrong again, I've made you unhappy again. I would hate myself more and more every time I did that. One of the examples here is we were in this very flat, on that very sofa over there, and we were deciding what to watch. And I picked Jeremy's Farm. And I remember we were cuddling up and I couldn't relax because I wasn't sure he was enjoying it. I wasn't sure I didn't make another mistake of picking something he isn't enjoying. About half an hour into the first episode, Jeremy is buying farm equipment. And Jeremy's line goes something like, I have no idea what this is. But my ex at the time, like, he burst out with the name in happiness and excitement that he knew what this farm equipment was. And I remember that intense feeling of relief and moment of absolute joy of, I've done something right. He's enjoying the show. He's enjoying watching it together. And that burst of dopamine of, I've done something right. Maybe I was good enough. I have managed to do something right. A couple of days later, I realized that that wasn't necessarily the right way to go about it. As in, I shouldn't be this worried, this concerned about picking a TV show. I shouldn't have so much anxiety about picking the wrong TV show. But that's how he made me feel. And that's how I started to realize that this isn't right. This when it started to dawn on me that there might be something off here. When I tried opening up to him, like before, I was genuinely feeling that I could never do anything right for him. He would twist my words, or he would interpret them in a way to make it about himself, or to make it negatively reflect on him, which had a massive impact on me, because if I open up and share something, it's like, this isn't about you, you know? I'm opening up and sharing with you so we can get closer, and this doesn't mean that you done something wrong, or you seeing it in a way that, you know, and that just reinforced the entire thing of I could never say or do anything that was good enough, that was right, that wouldn't hurt him. And that created so much anxiety, so much doubt, so much second guessing that I was drowning. And the worst part about it all is that he made me feel that way, but I believed him that he was right. Until I broke up with him, even though I was so in love with him still. Breaking up with the person that you're in love with is, it's the worst thing. It's the worst thing. I then spent over 2 months feeling absolutely nothing. I was numb. I was starting to recharge from this emotional drain, from this constant anxiety, from this constant self-hate. For over 2 months where I was sleeping a lot, I was just doing the same thing over and over again. I didn't have energy for much else. I had barely any emotional energy left because I was hating myself so much, and I was trying over and over and over and over again to find something that I was doing right, to find something that I might just be good enough. And then he found somebody else in that time. Given how much he said he loved me and how important I was to him, was quite surprising to me, and that's what triggered then feelings. It sent me down a properly dark path, the darkest place I've actually been to in my life. I couldn't believe that if you have these genuine feelings of love and all these things that he would say to me about how important I was and how much I meant to him, all of those things gone within 2 months. I haven't even started processing anything. I was still numb. Still very much in love with him and still hurting from the fact that I broke up with the person who I was in love with. For him to find somebody that quickly, for me to be that worthless to that person that I was in love with, that
didn't mean anything for him. I was worth absolutely nothing. And that love that he supposedly felt for me was that fleeting that he can't just make room for the next person that quickly. That was hard. Even though I'm the one who broke up, he has every right to move on. But just the fact that it took 2 months for him to be head over heels for the next person, and I'm forgotten, that's not easy. And he even told me, he even said that no matter what, he would never want to lose me again from his life, because I've become that important to him, even if it's just friends later down the line. But it turns out I was blocked. And again, I still believed him that I was important to him. I still believed him that I meant something to him, even though it very clearly wasn't the case. It's a bit like he drank the last bit of Pepsi Max out of that bottle, and then he squished it up and threw it away. That's exactly how I felt. Completely drained, and once there was nothing left, I was just tossed to the side, completely discarded, because I wasn't good enough to begin with. I wasn't worthy to begin with. And all I'd combined in the middle of self-hate, trying to process the fact that I broke up with the person I was in love with, was the darkest place I've ever been to in my life. But today, I know I removed a rather big toxic influence from my life. And it took an incredible amount of pain. So much pain. So much self-hate to overcome again. So much doubt, so much self-doubt, so many new insecurities that he created. But since then, slowly but surely, over a lot of time, reflection, working on myself, it's gotten better. And with that toxic influence removed from my life, nothing but better things have come since.
You're always going to find it as well when you're in the pangs and the throes of love, that you're completely isolated. Mm. And actually, it's the eye of Sauron upon you in terms of... And that was for you because you wanted to please that partner so much.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks, frankly. And I wish I could use a more eloquent way of saying that, you know, to feel such grief and such things upon you is an absolute travesty. But no, frankly, that sucks. To know yourself is to truly guard yourself from other people. We're in terms of toxic. I want to say this, that we don't always know that somebody is going to be a user, a toxic person, or a negative influence upon us. We just don't know. Because beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, and so does ugly. And it might be a long play. It might be a situation where somebody has made a calculated plan about how they want you to want to use you in their lives. Which is awful. I'd like to think that the majority of human beings on the planet aren't like that, but there are enough of them to warrant a topic like this, and I've certainly encountered a few. But the thing is that when we bounce into these toxic people, if we're lucky enough to survive them, lucky enough to see the back of them, and to get them out of life, there is an actual prize for doing this. If you are lucky enough to expunge a toxic person from your life, the prize is that you recognize a bastard. And recognizing a bastard is one of the greatest life skills and makes up for all the hurt, the anguish, the betrayal, all of the emotions negatively associated with friendships gone wrong or just toxicity in all of its wonderful glory. You get the prize of avoiding people like that in the future if you're lucky enough to spot patterns. So if you know you like certain things in people, then you can use it as a guide to find more people that you like and less people who want to take from you. Not meeting the expectations of somebody else is a way of a person trying to control you. It's a very convoluted thing. It's not so cut and dry. You'll have people who are looking out for you. People who think that what they are saying to you is the best thing that you could hear, and that if you take their advice, you'll be in a much better place. Sometimes that can be true. Sometimes it definitely isn't. You will have to experience life, and it's not something I can guide you on. It is something that just must be experienced. And then you will gain that knowledge. And hopefully, by being your own person, by being the truest version of you, you will be able to live a much better version of life. Because I've got to say, I have shaken off toxic people, and I felt so much stronger. I felt free. I felt also vindicated. I felt relief. And to know that they won't be coming back and that I won't have them in my lives is paradise. Because the absence of toxic people in your life is happiness. Is all those joyful people that you have found by being true to yourself, to knowing what you want in a person. And also knowing in workspaces when your work is valued, where you're treated with respect. These are symptoms and these are nice things that happen when you don't have toxic people around. You don't have your energy being taken away. You have it boosted, fostered, doubled, tripled. And that's part of a thought that I want to explore, which is when you're trying to remove toxic people from friendships, I find that it's a campaign. I find that I have to have conversations in very diplomatic ways because not everybody is going to have the same viewpoint as you. It can be really difficult because a toxic person can act different ways with different people, especially if they're trying to manipulate the reality you will share. It's something I'm not hugely qualified on. I've done it. I've gone through that process. I've seen it happen. I've facilitated it in some cases. And I'm currently in the process of trying to get rid of somebody toxic. The way that I'm doing it is I am holding up a mirror to everybody else and saying, okay, what does this mean to you? And if it is this, then how does it impact something else? Or swapping the context, taking it out of context and saying, okay, well, imagine it isn't your friend. And then if it was somebody in a soap opera and they were doing this exact same thing, how would you feel then? It's not something that you can wage war about. I find that if you do, then you lose friends. You lose the point of what you're doing. Remember, what you're trying to do is make your group stronger. And you don't do that by giving it's either them or me. You do that by helping everybody understand the truth of the person who is toxic. And I think the strongest thing is by giving them evidence of actual things they're doing, rather than just saying, oh, by the way, blah, 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 I think he does this because of that. I try and always give people evidence of toxic behavior or say, just observe that and then tell me what you've seen. I'll tell you what I've seen, and let's compare notes on that. Much like empowerment, much like any situation where you're trying to get somebody to come to their own conclusion, if they achieve this themselves, they've had the thought, and then they will understand where you're coming from and be more resolved to deal with that situation. It is difficult. Because toxic to one person might not be toxic to another. Or if these are toxic traits, they might be shared by people. So it's a minefield. It's a Rubik's cube of a minefield. It's not something that I can give definitive answers because if I could, then I'd have books. I'd have, you'd see my face on cans of pop and things. But I can only hope that when you engage in those things and when you are confronted by toxic friends, that you can have conversations about it and say, look, in dealing with this, is not socially ostracize the person, but give them a chance to reflect. I'm going to say, look, this is your behavior. This is what I have a problem with. And give them the ability to change. It's when you see patterns emerging. Patterns are the things you should be worrying about because that is a continual assurance that that behavior is going to continue. If it happens on a one-off, you know, we all have bad days, blind spots. But if it's something that's a pattern that's forming, that's when action should be taken. And so I hope to help my friend, but I will make sure that the other friends around them see the actions that my friend is doing, so that if they do not change, everybody will be there to view who that person really is. Which makes the next part, which is removing them from the group, a lot easier. But these are friendships. They're all different shapes and sizes, colours and different understandings. I can give, hey, this is what I'm doing in mine. But that's because I know all the players in mine. Because I know them. And I've known them for years. I can't advise what you're going through. And it would be rude for me to do that. All I can do is wish you luck.
It sounds like you're protecting the love within the tribe.
Yeah.
Safety within our tribe.
Absolutely.
That's what you're trying to achieve with this.
You see to the core of what I am trying to do. Thank you. That reaffirms me as well. I am trying to protect the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an age and experience level where I feel that I can do this successfully, rather than when I have tried to do this in my youth and I have failed bitterly. Because you grow through what you go through. And I know the lessons. I have reflected on those actions a thousand times in my mind. And I have grown from it. For all of the people that you will meet in your life, my fondest wish is this for you, which is that the toxic people in your life, may they be short-stayed. May they impart the lesson to you, which is what you're not looking for, what it looks like. I hope that you get no toxic person, you live some sort of magical life like a unicorn, but I hope that you can pass through the difficult times because the majority of people aren't toxic. I believe in the goodness in humankind, and I believe that we're on that constant journey to educate each other. So know your truth. I hope that your relationships, be they in work, love, friendship, or any interaction with humans, is a lovely one. And I hope that you grow from it, they grow from it. And I hope that toxic people begin to self-reflect, and may they join us in the lovely people.
That's the one.
You've been listening to the I'm Glad You Exist. If I can, so can you podcast. If you want more from us, you can find us on all the usual social medias. Like, subscribe, follow us, which is the best thing you can do to help us continue making this podcast. And please, never ever forget, you are loved.